We're returning to the German election to decide the shape of the first German government in the post-Merkel era. Our Europe editor Tony Connolly joins us again to update us on the results and the likely makeup of a future coalition. And I'm also joined by Ulrike Franke, Senior Policy Fellow at the European Council on Foreign Relations. And good morning to you both. And Tony, just remind us again, will you, of those knife-edge results and the shape of Germany's, the likely shape of Germany's next government?
Yes, Mary. Well, the latest official provisional result is still that this SPD, the Social Democrats, are at 25.7%, and the CDU, Christian Democrats, and their sister party, the CSU, are at 24.1%. So what we're getting this morning already in some of the early morning TV news channels, some shots across the bows between different parties as to who should be getting together to form a coalition. Norbert Röttgen, who is the influential chair of the Bundestag Foreign Affairs Committee on the CDU side, saying that the party risks no longer being the People's Party because of last night's result. So there's a lot of licking of wounds from the CDU perspective at the moment. But he said that they didn't have a claim to form a coalition, but that didn't mean that they couldn't still go ahead to form a coalition. But clearly on the other side of the divide, some sniping from the SPD saying that there's no way that the Green Party would prop up the CDU in a coalition, given that the people appear to have rejected the CDU as the main party. So we're waiting to hear from the two big parties officially what their positions are going to be. There'll be a statement from both parties this morning and then news conferences later. But all the indications are now that the SPD are in pole position to start those coalition talks.
And the Greens, major kingmakers here in a future coalition arrangement and eager to get into government.
Yes, the Greens have done very well. They've nearly doubled their votes since 2017 and really captured a mood in the country that is very concerned about climate change, how to pay for climate change. And notable as well, I think, that the Greens and the Liberal Democrats, the FDP, they have really commanded the young vote in Germany. And I think that is why this is being seen as such a watershed election, because of the demographic trends and the allegiances towards the big two parties that have dominated. Those allegiances are weakening and fragmenting. And so that's why this is an indication of the shape of things to come. I think in Germany, those two parties, the Greens and the FDP, really counting among young voters, and they will obviously be staking a claim to have a place in the new coalition.
Ulrike Franke, Senior Policy Fellow at the European Council on Foreign Relations, is with us as well. Ulrike, what do you believe is the signal here from German voters?
I think there are actually several signals, and this is what makes this rather difficult. So on the one hand, there is a signal that a lot of voters want change. And I would say that's the votes for the Greens and the FDP, which both have gained quite a lot. But at the same time, Germans and German voters tend to be quite status quo aficionados. And I would actually read the votes for the SPD a bit counterintuitively as votes for continuity. I mean, Olaf Scholz, the SPD candidate, basically ran saying, you know, I'm your female chancellor, I'm your next Angela Merkel. And so I think he stood more for continuity than some outsiders may see. So there are a few mixed messages, but I agree with the commentator just now that most Germans seem to want a change, at least when it comes to who leads the governing coalition. And so we are likely to see an SPD coalition rather than a CDU-led government.
So a steady hand, and you think for Germans it was important that Mr. Scholz was already vice chancellor and finance minister and had experience at government level?
Yeah, I believe that that's important, and I believe that's one of the reasons why the Greens, which, for example, in May actually were coming out first in the polls, ended up not doing so well because their candidate was very young and very unexperienced, and people, I think, felt that she may not be ready for this, you know, pretty big office of German Chancellor. So Olaf Scholz definitely also could just, benefited from the fact that he was indeed a minister before, he was in government before, and just seemed like a pretty steady hand, not just in Germany, but also internationally and in the EU.
Tony, a steady hand with new blood. What will it mean, though, if this is the composition we're looking at with Mr. Scholz as Chancellor, what will it mean for the direction that Germany takes at a European level?
Well, I think there will be continuity on the European level. I mean, all the parties that have done well are pro-European Union, they're pro-integration. The Greens, in particular, will bring an influence to bear on European foreign and German foreign policy. They may make a pitch to get the foreign minister's job. Joschka Fischer, remember, was a Green Party member back in the early 2000s during the Iraq war. And the Greens are quite robust on human rights. They would take a strong position towards Russia and China. The other big question will be European fiscal policy. There is going to be a debate very soon on whether or not to overhaul the fiscal rules, the deficit rules and the debt rules that govern the Eurozone. Those rules have been largely suspended during the pandemic, and before they're simply reimposed or put back in place, that there is going to be a debate as to whether or not they should be reformed. Should spending on green technology be exempt from those kind of fiscal rules? So the new German government is going to have a very big role to play in how that debate is shaped. And if you've got a Green Party in there, that could influence it. At the same time, the FDP, the Liberal Democrats, are still fairly keen on the constitutional debt break in Germany. They also want tax cuts as well. So there is going to be a lot of difficult negotiation for all three parties, no doubt, in the coming months. But broadly speaking, I think you'll get continuity in terms of the overall European picture.
To stay with that issue, Ulrika, of Germany's role within Europe, you know, if Macron is seen as the visionary within the EU, what is the German role? Is it the pragmatist?
I think the German role over the last few years and decades, under Angela Merkel, but I think this is a more general position as well, has been one of a unifying force. So Germany and Angela Merkel in particular definitely saw their role as trying to keep the EU and EU27 together, trying to have everyone heard, including the small member states. And here they were a little bit, I want to say, in opposition to Macron, who has been championing this idea of the avant-garde, right? Working with those willing and able, and well, potentially leaving the others a little bit behind. And Germany always tried to have everyone on board, which I think is something that's been recognized by Europeans, by the smaller Europeans. Now, you know, don't get me wrong, there were, of course, issues such as Nord Stream 2 and Germany's behavior during the migration crisis. But overall, I still think that there has been this unifying approach within the EU. And this, in fact, I think will be the big challenge now for the next Chancellor and for the next government. Because if this new government really wants to lead in any kind of way in the EU, it may actually have to abandon this unifying stance, which made it important and which made a European say that Germany should indeed lead the EU. But if you want to lead, you need a few more visions, and you need to be willing to say, you know what, we're not just going to go for the lowest common denominator. And I think this is really the big challenge, how to do this, how to keep the EU27 together while moving forward, while doing reforms. And as we just heard, indeed, the Greens and the FDP, I think they have some ideas on EU foreign policy. But if you want to do that, that may mean, well, you know, having a bit more disagreements within the EU. And that's something so far Germany hasn't really been comfortable with. So that's something I'm looking at quite closely.
Coming back, Tony, again to the analysis of the election and its outcome. And, you know, whatever about the shape of the future coalition, does this result tell us that moderate centrism has prevailed here and perhaps not the rise of populism that we've seen in other European countries?
Yes, well, I mean, I suppose the real master stroke that Angela Merkel had was the ability to move the party to the centre and to appeal to SPD and Green voters with key signature policies. So that was recognition that there is still a very important centre in German politics, and I think that centre has held on this occasion. The left party got 4.9%. That's a radical left party, may not even make it into the Bundestag. The AfD got around 11%. That's the Alternative for Deutschland, a radical right-wing party. They still are doing very well in East Germany. They're the biggest party in two East German states, but they haven't made that big breakthrough that was expected a few years ago. So this has been a bad election for those fringe parties. And yes, of course, the CDU and the SPD are still the two biggest parties, but they, you know, they have lost a lot of their core support over the past 10, 15 years. And you have parties like the FDP and the Greens coming in to fill that space. But it is still a largely centrist, moderate space within the spectrum.
Ulrika, future for Angela Merkel? I know, I think we heard one of a former Taoiseach, a former Prime Minister here saying that she said herself, I think, that she would do nothing for a while. But do you see her taking on any future role within Europe, within the European structure?
Ah, that's a very good question. So I must say, I am pretty sure that now she really will retreat. She will go to her dacha. She will cook potato soup, which reportedly is her favorite food, and she really may do nothing for a while. I think that is very likely. Will she seek another position? I don't know, in the UN or NATO or anything like this. I don't quite see it right now, but it is true that she really has been seen as this kind of leader of the free world or something like this over the last few years. And I think in the end, it may depend on circumstances, on events. If she feels like she's needed, which I think was the case, you know, 4 years ago, where I think she didn't quite want to run again, but then, you know, we had Donald Trump and all of this, and she kind of felt like she was needed, which I think was correct. If a similar situation arises, maybe she'll come back. But I think for now, we may actually not hear from her for quite a while. And I don't expect her to be sitting in German talk shows and like commenting on current affairs. I think, you know, she'll take a break. Maybe she'll do a kind of lecture post somewhere at the university, but I think for now a lot of quiet around
her. Okay, she'll be a caretaker chancellor for a little while yet.
That is of course true.
Thank you very much indeed for your time this morning, and our Europe editor Tony Connolly. More reports from Tony throughout the day.